You know, each year during the last week of December or maybe the first few days of January, I imagine that many of you, at least occasionally, have sat down and written out some New Year's resolutions, you know, goals for the upcoming year. And I would bet that of people who do that sort of thing, that the majority of them have included somewhere on their list of New Year's resolutions something having something to do with some action they want to take with regards to their health or their body. We're interested in that. We say things like, you know, that this is the year that I'm going to get in shape. I mean, I've said that last year and the year. I know I said it before, but, you know, this is the year. I'm going to join the health club. I'm going to start working out. I'm going to do it. Or we say, this year I'm going to begin to eat things that are healthy, and I'm committed to it. Or I'm going to give up smoking. Or this year I'm going to go on a diet and stick to that diet and lose those extra pounds. And the reason we want to see those kinds of improvements and changes in our life is because, you know, we really do care. I think most of us do care about our health and about our bodies. We care how they look. We care how they feel. We want them to function properly. But something I think a lot of us neglect to consider is how much God cares about our bodies. You know, we're always hearing how much He cares about our souls. It's easy to overlook the fact that He also cares just about our bodies, our physical bodies. And that's because God sees us holistically as total beings. Beings that have souls, but also beings that have emotions and intellects, personalities, and bodies. And God cares about every part of our life. Everything that makes us what we are, God is concerned with. But what we're going to do today is just focus in on one aspect, one dimension of our lives, something all of us here have in common, and that is our bodies. What does God think, say, about our health, about our bodies? Well, it kind of goes without saying that our culture here has an inordinate sort of attention and emphasis that we place on the human body. I mean, we spend billions and billions of dollars each year in this country on things like tanning salons, fixing our hair up, buying exercise equipment, you know, joining health clubs and spas and so forth. We have a great deal of concern and attention paid to the body. Now, men, as you know, in this particular time in history, in this society, are supposed to be have muscle-bound bodies. And they're always even having contests to determine who has the most muscle-bound body. Like there's Mr. Oklahoma, and then it goes on to Mr. America, and then it's Mr. World, and then Mr. Universe, and then Mr. Cosmic Mega Universe. I mean, who is the most muscle-bound person on the planet? That's the hunt, you know. Who's got more muscles than anyway? Guys, that's the way it is. We're supposed to have muscles. Now, women, our culture says, are supposed to be thin. And as you're aware, our culture there's been a great deal of exploitation of the female body in our culture. Advertisers use the female body to sell things, to make a profit. Publishers of porno magazines have developed a $4 billion a year industry through exploiting the female body. So our society practically worships the body. And so it might be easy for us as Christians to sort of overreact to that and suddenly begin thinking that the body is somehow intrinsically evil or sinful. And there have been some people down through the centuries who have believed exactly that. It's called asceticism. Now, an ascetic was someone who lived a life of rigorous self-discipline, extreme self-denial, because they believed that the path to true spirituality was through denying themselves of any pleasures in life. And so they lived in complete poverty. They didn't believe in sex or marriage. They never took baths, and they ate as little as possible. were thinking, where do I sign up for that group? Boy, howdy, that sounds great. I don't know how they got recruits. I don't know how they ever got the thing started, to tell you the truth. But contrary to what asceticism may teach, the human body is not evil or sinful by nature. I believe that just the opposite is true. I think there are at least four biblical reasons why we can believe that the body is not evil or sinful by nature, but is good. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that God created man with a body. And it was his idea. He dreamed it up. He gave us bodies on purpose. I mean, that should be reason enough right there to think that God sees our bodies as good, not evil. Reason number two, when Jesus Christ was here on this earth, certainly he was concerned with saving people's souls, but he also had a real concern for people's bodies. That's why he went around feeding people, touching, healing people's bodies. Well, another reason we might consider, you know, why the body is good and not necessarily evil, is that when Jesus was here himself, he had a physical body, a real physical body. Recently I heard that several suits of clothing and coats and jackets and so forth, which were owned by John Lennon, were sold for thousands and thousands of dollars at an auction. I think, well, why would anybody pay that kind of money for a coat or a jacket? Well, some people feel that there is something special, something valuable, because of who once wore those clothes. In the same way, most of you probably remember that television commercial where it's after a football game and there's this tunnel that leads down to the players' locker rooms. And there's Mean Joe Green is slowly walking down this ramp there, going to the locker room, and there's a little kid standing off to the side drinking a Coke. And the kid says, Mr. Green, do you want my Coke? And Mean Joe Green, you know, grabs the Coke, gulps it down in one big swallow. Kid walks away, sad, lost his Coke, you know, there it went. And he's walking away, and Mean Joe Green says, hey, kid! The guy turns around, and Mean Joe Green takes his dirty, filthy, rotten, sweaty, bloody football jersey and throws it to this kid. And the kid looks at it. Man, he's ecstatic. His face lights up. Wow, you know, Mean Joe Green's rotten, filthy, bloody, sweaty football jersey. All right. Why is he so excited to have that? I mean, he could just go down to the sporting goods store and buy a brand new one just like it, right? Well, sure he could, but this one was special because Mean Joe Green wore it. Well, in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says that God himself became flesh and took on and wore a body just like ours. And he came down here for a while and dwelt among man on this earth. And that, in a sense, made the human body, it sort of brought a dignity to the human body, made it special, made it have value. And God, in doing that, himself taking on a human body, certainly was making a clear statement that the body is not evil, that it's good. Well, the fourth reason I believe that the body is good and not evil, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You may be nearby there. If you don't have a Bible, I'll read it and you can listen. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? And if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Now you remember in the Old Testament, God focused his presence for a time, for instance, in the Garden of Eden. He was there, his presence, walked and talked with Adam and Eve. Later in the tabernacle, his presence was there. And then in the Holy of Holies, in the temple in Jerusalem. But you read the New Testament, and you see that God moved. He decided to sort of relocate. Now he focuses his presence where? In us. We now, those verses are saying, we now are God's temple. His Spirit lives in us. And to me, that's another clear indicator that our bodies are good, not evil or sinful, or God couldn't dwell in them if they were evil and sinful. Well, flip a page or two over again to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The verses we read earlier, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." I think, well, how can we do that? Practically speaking, what does it mean to honor God with our bodies? I just want to mention three ways: sexually, nutritionally, and what we might call aerobically. Let me explain three. First of all, sexually. Look in the middle of verse 13 there in chapter 6. In the middle of that verse it says, "The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord." And down in verses 18 and 19 it says, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. And do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you?" You see, we can't honor God with our bodies if we're committing some sexual sin. Right? I mean, there's no way we can be honoring God with our bodies if we're committing sexual sin. And the Scriptures teach that any sex outside of marriage is sin. Now, on the other hand, God is honored and God is pleased when a husband and wife have a meaningful, fulfilling, enjoyable sexual relationship. See, God is honored by that. So those of you here, married couples, think about it. I mean, your sexual relationship is a way of honoring God with your bodies. Sometimes you say, "Oh, it's so hard to obey God. Oh, I can't do it." You know, well, here's one right here. But if you're married, I mean, this is like, you know, don't complain about it being so difficult to obey God. There's at least one way. Well, anyway, okay, yeah, you get the point. But sexually, we can honor God with our bodies, or we can displease God with our bodies sexually. Well, second way we can honor God with our bodies is nutritionally. Now, one of the most common and yet one of the most damaging habits that many people have is the habit of overeating. It's been estimated that over 40% of all Americans are overweight. Now, I'm sure we've all heard of AA, stands for Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, there's now an organization known as OA, Overeaters Anonymous. And there's somebody in our church who was here in the first service who's a part of that. And the basic premise of that organization is that just as people are addicted to alcohol, or people can become addicted to nicotine or to drugs, people become addicted to food, become obsessed with food. But, you know, we all can, I think, agree that we can't honor God with our bodies when we're gluttonous and overweight. And this is a problem in our country. Americans now spend over $400 million a year on weight loss diets and get thin quick gimmicks and all that. We spend $1.5 billion on diet soft drinks, thinking that we're going to lose weight by drinking diet soft drinks, I guess. But what most people actually need is just some old-fashioned self-discipline when it comes to what we eat. Maybe you've heard the story about the famous boxer Joe Louis. He was also very well known for his self-discipline. One day he was training and someone brought him a gift, and he opened it up and it was a chocolate pie. And he said, "I'd like to eat it, but I can't." He said, "I want to be champion. I want to be champion." Recently someone brought Floyd a gift and he opened it up and it was a chocolate pie. He says, "Man, I want to be champion. I want to be champion." He said, "I want to be champion chocolate pie eater. You know, give me that thing." But actually, you know, people who become overweight due to a lack of self-discipline, it's really not very funny. Especially not funny to that person. And it's an unfortunate thing, because people who deal with that problem, you know, they don't feel as good as they should. They don't look as good as they could. And they're just not as healthy as God wants them to be. See, God wants us to be healthy because He cares about us. And good health begins with what food we eat and the amount of food that we eat. Well, those are two ways that we can honor God with our bodies: sexually, nutritionally, and third, aerobically. That is, through exercising or, you know, keeping our bodies in good physical condition. Well, over the last decade or so, our country has been experiencing sort of a fitness fad. It's very popular, you know, to try to be in shape supposedly now, and hundreds and hundreds of health clubs have popped up all over the place, and people are buying jogging shoes, millions and millions of pairs of jogging shoes each year, and aerobics classes have become very popular and everything. Now, personally, I think there's probably a lot more cute little exercising outfits being sold than there is actual exercising going on, you know. Everybody looks great in their little outfits, but I don't know how much actual exercise is taking place. But some people are. Some of you have discovered the benefits of exercising, and you have actually been working out. You've been getting in shape. And there are tremendous benefits to get, not just physical, but emotional in every way. You know, it's a proven fact that exercise is one of the best things we can do to reduce the stress and the tension that we're under. I mean, and practically every one of us here has some deal of pressure, stress in our life. Exercise is one of the best things we can do, sort of as a release valve for that pressure. Exercise has also been proven to result in higher self-esteem, higher resistance to sickness, higher energy levels. Many of you are aware of the fact that I've been an hour and a half, three times a week, playing basketball, at least an hour and a half, 3 days a week. And I do it religiously. I mean, I love basketball, but I mean, I want to work out. And I know for a fact, and to those of you who, you know, are around me a lot and we're, gotten to know each other real well, you've been able to tell a difference. Because I have been, man, I feel better. I'm just more positive and optimistic when I'm in better shape. You know, when I feel good physically, it carries over. I just feel like I'm more creative, I'm more productive, I'm able to work harder, I have more energy. I really want to encourage you, if you're not doing it, make a commitment to start exercising in some way. Whatever way would be enjoyable for you. Get somebody to work out with, whatever it takes. And I'm not getting kickbacks from some, you know, health place or YMCA on this. I believe it. I believe the Bible teaches that we should honor God with our bodies in that way. Make a commitment to do it. Last week we talked about our schedules. It's what you do. You just say, I'm going to do it. These are the best days of the week for me. These are the best times of those days. I'm going to plan it into my weekly schedule. I'm going to do it. You'll feel better. You'll look better. What most people lack is the courage or the self-discipline to muster up, you know, to get started, to get going. Once you get going, you'd be glad you did. Now, I realize that, you know, just with some of the things I've said, the whole point of this talk, some people here might feel sort of, you know, guilty or even embarrassed right now because, you know, maybe you think, well, I am overweight. I know I'm overweight. Or maybe you have been committing sexual sin, dishonoring God in that way. Or maybe you're one of those people who have honestly, sincerely tried to quit smoking, but you just have not been able to break the habit. Or maybe you just, you know, you're not in good physical condition. You don't exercise. So in all honesty, you would have to, you know, admit that you're not honoring God with your body right now. Well, the purpose of this talk is not to make any person here feel guilty or embarrassed in any way. The purpose of this talk, number one, is to remind us of the fact that God loves us no matter what kind of shape we're in. No matter what, you know, drugs, I know people in the church have done, you know, several people have done a lot of drugs in their past and damaged perhaps their body in some way. God loves us anyway. No matter how overweight you may feel like you are, no matter how out of shape you are, whether you still smoke or drink or anything else, God loves you. Before you make any change, God loves you. He cares about us. But the fact that He cares about us is the reason He wants us to be well. He loves us enough to want us to be healthy. to enjoy good health. I want to communicate that fact that sure, He cares about our souls first and foremost, because that's the part of us that's eternal. But God is also very concerned about our bodies, our physical health. And the third thing I'm really trying to communicate here this morning is that since our bodies are the home, the dwelling place of a holy God, then we should strive to do what we can to honor God with our bodies. Well, right now we are sort of in the middle of our series here on getting a grip on your life. And we talked last week about our schedules, how we spend our time. This morning we've talked about our health, how we take care of our bodies. And for most of us, these are difficult things to try to tackle. It's not an easy thing to get a handle on here's where my time is going. Now I'm using my time productively. God is being honored with what I do with my free time, or, you know, God is honored with this or that aspect of physically, my body. It's not easy to make these kinds of changes. So I want to encourage you just with one last verse, and that is where the Scripture says in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. It is not impossible to quit smoking or to lose weight or to discipline ourselves to work out and to stick with it, or to get a grip on what we're doing with our time. It's not impossible to have lives that are a little bit out of control in some areas and pull the reins in and bring those in line with a way that will be pleasing to God. It's hard. And we have to put out some effort. We can't just say, God, make me, you know, lose weight or something. We have to put out some effort. But the Bible promises that through Christ in us, we can do it. We can make those changes and improvements. And we should want to. If we're serious about honoring God with our life, our time, our body. So I hope we can walk out of here with the confidence today that it is not impossible. Through Christ, we can make it happen. All right, let's stand. We'll have a closing prayer.